So we've been talking about who we are, how God sees us. We understand that beautiful name of Jesus, the majesty of who He is, and then to somehow realize that when He looks down on His family of believers, what we know as not churches, but the church, the people, those who have believed, who have given their life to Him. When He looks down on us, He sees us as His bride, pure, sweet, holy, everything you can imagine that a new husband would picture his bride as. That's how He sees us. That's how He sees the church. He looks down on us and He is so proud and loving over us. He has washed us and He loves us. He sees us as the holy temple, actually the holy of holies, that inner chamber where only His glory dwelt and a priest only went in once in a while. And so as we're here even this morning, we know that the Holy Spirit is here with us and He's in individuals of us who are believers. We are a temple, and when we gather, we are the holy of holies. And He looks down on us, and He sees the holy of holies gathered in His temple here. So it's a beautiful thing. Maybe even more to the point, He looks down on us, His family of believers, and He calls us the body of Jesus Christ. We're His body. Jesus is no longer here. We are His arms and His legs. We're His mouth. We're His ears. We are the body of Christ moving about as He did. People seeing Jesus are seeing us now. They are looking at us now. We are the body of Christ. Amazing, amazing descriptions of how God sees His church. What we've talked about a little bit in the last few weeks is that there's so many scriptures, there's so much in the Bible that won't really make sense to us until we get that, until we get how God sees us. We think of ourselves as just kind of these broken, problematic people sometimes, or we see ourselves as brilliant, we don't need help type of people sometimes, and we read scripture and it just doesn't connect. Until we can grasp this truth, this is how God sees you. And this is why He says this, because we are a bride to Him. We are a holy temple to Him. So that's where we've been. We've been talking about those four words I gave you then, that as if that's true, if we are the bride and the temple, there's this building going on that the Bible talks about. It's building the temple. And we used four words. We've been using unity and building. We build and we unify. We strengthen, or we divide and we destroy. Dividing is destroying. And Jesus taught that. If you divide any kingdom, divided against itself, cannot stand. Any organization divided against itself cannot stand. A family divided against itself will not stand. That principle is true. So uniting, bringing together, building, working together, loving together, building, we will build, or dividing, we will destroy. We will corrupt. We're going to talk a little bit more about that word here shortly, but the word corrupt and destroy, same Greek word. It's decay, it's bad, it's feeding poison in, it's destroying. So, come to this book. Last week we talked to the children, and I was just trying to really support some families, giving them some good principles, some good ideas, you know, don't lie, you know, don't steal, stuff like that. Stuff that comes out of your mouth should be good for the building up, not corrupting. So we had a nice little Sunday school here with the kids, and we talked about that. And the beauty of this passage is just before it. And I was kind of like, oh man, I just want to share this with them. I want to break out, but these kids would be looking at me like, what are you talking about? So I had to wait. I had to wait a week, but now I'm here. And so now I get to spew all over you this beauty of this passage. And I think it's going to make sense to you, but it's not going to be easy. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But as we think about this building process, I want you to know this. And I'm gonna touch the passage briefly. I'm going to kind of explain it. I need to explain a few words to you. And then I'm going to show you why it applies to us, what it means for us. So the book of Ephesians, we want to do some real building for the Lord. The book of Ephesians is all about unifying and building the kingdom. And in this passage, the main unifying is you have these Jewish people, these real kind of anal, uptight, conservative Jewish people. They're all about their decor and their traditions and how they look at everybody else like we're just heathens, like we're just dogs. And we're called Gentiles, and that means, that word is just ethnos, and you get where we get that word ethnos, ethnicity, and that's not. So you got the Jews, and then you got the Gentiles, which is everybody else, all the other countries, everybody. So it's like if we were a room full of Jews, we would just look out that window and go, ethnos, the world, all them people, all them others that aren't as good as we are. And so ethnos, Gentiles, nations, that's what that means. And Paul is talking about that Jesus came and he unified everybody in everything. That's his whole purpose. It's to unify it. And it says in chapter 1, verse 10, as a plan, he set forth Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And then the whole book just starts talking about unifying and building and bringing together. In chapter 2, he says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. You're members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And the word he used there is naos, that's the Holy of Holies. And so he says, you Gentiles, you nations, you ethnos, we're all together now. We're all united, and we're supposed to be growing in that. So in chapter 4, and this is where we're going to be, chapter 4, notice in verse 1 he says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, he's a prisoner, he really is a prisoner, he is chained to a guard in a house. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. So he wants you to walk, to live out, to walk out this faith in a manner worthy of the Lord. And he talks about humility and gentleness and patience. He doesn't give you specifics until later, but right now, walk with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We should walk in gentleness and patience and love. We should be eager to maintain unity, the unity of the Spirit in peace. We should be eager to do that here. The family of God has to be eager, hungry to maintain unity in peace in the family. That's one of our goals. And then he comes down and he starts talking about unity and building again. Listen as I read, beginning at chapter 4, verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Well, there we go. The saints, we're going to be building together, and all these leaders, these teachers in the church are gifts from him to equip the saints to build up the body of Christ. Verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, we're growing, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's our goal, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part's working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So here we're getting right into the nuts and bolts of it. This whole letter is just about that. It's about building up and growing up in the faith. It's about us unifying, pulling together, joined together by every ligament. It's about the holy temple. It's about the Spirit being here. It's about building effectively. It's about, this is how I want you to live, to walk it out, to build and to grow like God wants us to grow. This is the Word of God. He's telling us, this is how you're going to do it. So, verse 1, walk in a manner like this, worthy of your calling. Verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles. So verse 1, walk, live in a manner that's worthy of your calling so you can build this place, unify this place, bring this family together, grow and build, walk in a manner worthy of that. Verse 17, no longer walk like this. No longer walk like the Gentiles, like the nations, like the ethnos. So no longer walk that way, walk this way, manner worthy. And you will build and grow the way God wants you to grow. All right? So I've set it up. Now comes the thick, kind of syrupy stuff, but it's going to make sense. Verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. How many of you have heard this passage before? You're vaguely, somehow, you're familiar with this passage. Put off the old, put on the new. You're somehow, some way, vaguely familiar with this passage. Okay. So let me just set this up, and I need to do this. Give me about 5 minutes just to kind of show you what this is talking about. Because when we read this with our modern day thinking and our modern day minds, we get the wrong impression of what he's saying. For instance, when he says sensuality, you and I think sexuality, sensual, ooh, alluring, ooh, low-cut top, ooh, look at that, ooh, sensuality. That's not what he's saying. He's saying things of your senses, and he'd have to break into this paragraph to make this word work. So they say sensuality, which means you operate off of your senses. What are your senses? Your eyes, things you see, things you touch, things you taste, things you feel with your body, things you think. You have senses. That's what he's talking about here. When you read this census, it says they've become callous and given them up themselves up to sensuality. They've given themselves up to their senses, to everything that feels good, that tastes good, that looks good. And it says they're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That just means, it doesn't mean they're greedy for more money. It means they're greedy to practice things that are impure. Their senses, things that taste good, things that look good, things that really feel good, I want to do it some more. That's what he's saying. They're greedy to practice. Now, impurity. When we think impurity, we think sexuality, impure. That's not what he's talking about. Impurity means it's not pure. It's not pure. So, have you ever said this? I have. I've said it a lot. Hey, what, did you see that movie last night? I went to the latest Avengers movie, man. It was so cool. Did you see that movie? Yeah, I saw that movie. It was awesome. How'd you like it? It was great, man. It had a great plot. I love this actor or actress. The language was kind of a little bit too much, a little F-bomb here and there. I mean, it was just not, oh, man. But the movie was amazing. The plot, some great, you heard what I just said, right? It was impure. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying the movie was a total loss. I'm actually saying the movie was really good. But, man, the language just, I really hated my kids were there, and I was kind of like, you know, I don't do that. I mean, I love movies. I go to movies. I think they're awesome, but man, so often I got to admit the movies I'm watching, they're not pure. And you're saying, what movie are you going to go to that is? That's what God's saying. It's not what I'm saying. He's saying you are eager because things feel so good to you. You are eager, and you'll practice all kinds of things that are impure, you'll compromise, is what he's saying. Whereas Philippians says, think on these things, things that are honorable, things that are pure. Think on pure things. I don't know where you're going to go. I just know that's what God's saying. You figure it out. We got media everywhere. We've got movies. We've got music. We've got things everywhere. And we are supposed to find some pure things to think about. But these folk, because they operate on what feels good, what looks good, what tastes good, it just drives them to pursue more things. And this whole thing of purity is kind of just set off to the side. Well, it's 2018. There is nothing pure. You're going to watch something. You're going to watch something impure. And it makes you callous. Did you hear that? It makes you callous, is what it said. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every impurity. They become callous. NIV says they've lost all sensitivity. And that's what it means. We become insensitive to the impurities. We become insensitive to certain things. It's a true story. It's a true story. So Terry and I were in Traverse City over the weekend. And we go into a coffee shop, restaurant, and there's the menu, right? And so you know me, I like coffee. And so here's on the menu is a pumpkin spice chai latte. Sound good? Anybody like that? Okay. But it wasn't just a pumpkin spice chai latte. So there on the menu is when you are reading Facebook or texting, I'm looking at you, Jade. Don't look around. I'm looking at you. You might have to answer this for some of them because you know what we're talking about. You're not this way, but you know what I'm talking about. When you're texting, when we're texting it on Facebook or somewhere, and you come across a word, and instead of the word, it's got a hashtag star exclamation point. Do you know what they're trying to do there? What are they doing? They're cursing. They're censoring out something. Cursing. Hashtag. And if you put a letter in front of it, you can almost know what that curse word is, right? So, walk into a coffee shop. I'm looking down. Pumpkin spice latte. Now, if you're really conservative, if you're really uptight, you're not going to like this. I'm just going to tell you, close your ears right now. This was not just a pumpkin spice latte on the menu. This was a F star hashtag yeah pumpkin spice latte. On a public restaurant, on a coffee shop, on a menu, for you, me, and our kids to walk up and read. And I'm going, what? Really? You got to call your pumpkin spice latte that? I'm saying our culture has become calloused. Because when I grew up, I could cuss like a sailor. And some of the best swearers, cussers I knew growing up could cuss better than me, yes. But the F-bomb was still a little bit out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I knew some really rough people who liked to swear, but the F-bomb for some of them was still off limits. I mean, that was still way out there. And now it's on the menu. Now you can get it to drink. And I'm saying we've grown callous. I'm saying our culture is callous. I'm saying, listen. I'm saying the culture we live in is not post-Christian. Some of you have heard that. It's a post-Christian culture. I don't think so. I think Christianity has always been what it is. You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Spirit comes in and He saves you. Christianity is Christianity. That has nothing to do. That pumpkin spice latte has nothing to do with Christianity. There are non-Christians and Christians alike, men, women, and children, coming in onto that menu, probably more non-Christians than Christians. They just don't care no more. I mean, we're walking around town, there's people with some of the most horrible things on your t-shirt. I'm going, man, I knew a guy went to prison for murder and he didn't talk like that back in the day. I mean, come on. I'm saying our culture is just becoming less and less sensitive to some basic right and wrong issues. Christianity aside, it's just where we live. And the blue screen makes that real easy. Because I don't got to look at you to go hashtag star. I can pretty much just cuss you out without even looking you in the face. I can pretty much just rip you a new one without even looking at you. It's much easier that way than when we're sitting across a table from each other. So today's culture is becoming less sensitive to right and wrong. There's a lot of great things to do with the blue screen, right? But it also helps us to become more calloused. We read these things that are off the chart, rough, crude, nasty. Because we're miles apart on this blue screen, we just do it, and it's just accepted, and now we just accept it. He wrote about it. Because we live on our senses, what feels good, looks good, tastes good, we become more callous. It's not post-Christian. This was first century. This was first century, and they were there. Now we're in 2018. It's the same thing over and over and over and over. The church will go through its ebb and its tide. The church will rise and fall. It will go through its strong periods. The church is the church is the church. We're going to win souls, or we're not. But our society is becoming more and more calloused. Less sensitive to the things, and eager to practice anything purity is not an issue anymore. Purity is hard to find. And so that's what he tells the church. That's what he tells us. You can't walk this way. You can't live this way and build and unify. Remember how you used to walk? Don't walk that way no more. You know how they walk? Don't live that way no more. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. That's what he's saying here. It's an amazing passage. Put off your old self, the way you used to do it, which belongs to your former manner of life. If you don't have a former manner of life, then you need to sit down with the Lord and figure this thing out, because we all should have a former manner of life. If we're a believer, if we're a true believer, even if you're a really good, like Sunday school kind of like really sweet person, you were this perfect person, you weren't like me, you were a really good person, you grew up and you met Christ, you have a former manner of life. Okay, everybody should have a former manner of life. Put it off what belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. I got to break this one down for you because this is cool. Corrupt through deceitful desires. Now, I'm just going to tip my hand right here. Paul, in God's Word, is teaching you Genesis chapter 3. We're decaying, we're killing ourselves, we're not building, we're destroying. If we decided to knock out a block in this bottom level here, we just hammer, we just decide to destroy, we knock out a block right there and weaken the wall. That's what he's saying. If you want to build, don't be corrupt through deceitful desires. The desires are deceitful. The desires are deceitful. I want that. That feels good. That looks good. That tastes good. It's deceitful. It's corrupting. Now, here's very cool, and you'll get this. You'll get the word corrupt. I'm not going to break it down for you. This is a Greek word I can't even hardly pronounce. I'm not going to tell it to you. But I will tell you this. The English equivalent of this word corrupt, one of the English equivalents is autumn. The word autumn. And you know what autumn is, right? Autumn is leaves that turn beautiful just before they die. Leaves, we were just in Traverse City, and it is peak leaf season up there. And we spent about 2 hours just driving through the hills along Lake Michigan and just seeing hillsides of magnificent leaves, bright yellow and red, and I mean just boom! It was amazing autumn. In a couple weeks, those trees will be bare. They're dying. They're beautiful, eye-popping. We're going to have it here pretty soon. They're autumnal, just before they die. And the church, he says, you can't be autumnal. You can't be an autumn church. It feels good, it looks good, it tastes good, it seems to work. You're a smart person, you ethnos. You Gentiles are brilliant people. You Gentiles are doctors and nurses and teachers and scientists and scholars. You're mommies and you're teachers and you're Cub Scout leaders and you're just, but your thinking is futile. It's autumn-like. And it feels good and you want it and it's like this brilliant hillside of color. And then it dies. And then it's dead. It's a deceitful desire. You can't live this way no more. You can't live this way and build my bride. You can't live this way and build my church. You can't operate this way. You can't think this way. and build my church. I'm going to ask you, God says, I'm going to ask you to do it differently. Now, I told you he's preaching Genesis chapter 3. So, Genesis chapter 3. This is as old as the hills. Actually, it's older than the hills. Hills weren't created. Genesis chapter 3, you know the story, right? Adam and Eve. Hey, don't eat that tree. Don't eat that tree. Eat anything, anywhere, any tree you want. I've given it all to you. Not that one. All right? Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, taste, health, that it was a delight to the eyes, beauty, feng shui, whatever word you want to use, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, woo, thinking, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate, and their eyes were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves clothing. They lived by their senses. She saw it was good for food. That's good for food. We need food. She saw it was beautiful. I can decorate our little hut with that stuff. Man, those leaves are so beautiful. I can make some wreaths. I can hang them on the walls. I mean, that is a beautiful tree right there. It's autumnal. It'll make us wise. It'll make us so wise if we eat that tree. She was living on her senses, and she disobeyed God, and she died. And the moral of this story is, you can't live that way and build my church. Because this is what Eve did. She thought, and you and I think, it looks like the right thing to do. It looks like the way to build a church. It tastes like the right thing to do. It feels like the right thing to do. I think it's going to give me wisdom to get through this situation, whatever it is you're doing. And I think, although God said, don't, I think this makes sense to me that if I do this, I'm going to be better off. I'm going to be a little bit stronger. I'm going to be a little bit wiser. This is going to make life a little bit better, even though, well, yeah, I'm going to disobey God in this part right here. But it feels right. I mean, it tastes right. I mean, I'm thinking about it, and it's right. It's okay. I mean, it feels really good. According to my senses, and I'm a sensible person, it feels really good. I think, I don't know why, but I just feel like if I disobey God right here, it's going to work out for the better. Thank you, Eve, for that wisdom. And he says, church, you like to do the same thing. When God's word says, don't, when God's word says, do, you and I think, well, wait a minute, this feels really good. This tastes really good. This looks incredible. Have you seen the colors on those trees? My goodness, I want those. God said, no. What? This is 2018. And we go for it. And there is God's word saying, no, wait, not that way. No. But come on. Everybody, my aunt, my uncle, my grandma, my Sundays, everybody's saying, yep, nah, God's good. He's got this. He loves you. You're good. Somehow we think, because it is right to how we feel and our senses, we can cut the corner on God's word, on what he's clearly said, and we're going to be better off for it. And it is never going to happen. Ever, never, ever are we going to shortchange God in what he said, and we're going to be better off for it. We are going to be an autumn church. We're going to have seasons of leaves going poof, and then we're going to be leafless. We're going to die because we have missed God's word. There are autumn churches all over, living off their senses. This is how you get 10,000 people in the door. You will never, ever, ever, and you and I have to get this, we will never skirt God's word and be better for it, ever. Not personally, but certainly not as his bride, as his temple, as a dwelling of his spirit. And that's where this gets really hard. That's where this teaching gets hard. Because my senses are strong and powerful. They come from Eve, our mom. Our senses feel it. They roar. They holler. They kiss us on the cheek. They feel so good. I think God will be okay with this. You will never build. That's what he's teaching here. That's just what he's saying right here. You must no longer live that way if you're going to build, if you're going to be in it to win it with God. And I will say to you that if you look in the first few chapters of Revelation, you'll find another letter to this same group of churches saying, I got something against you. You left your first love. And they did. Because they became calloused, insensitive to right and wrong, and eventually to God's word, and they were an autumn church. And they got beautiful before they died. It's amazing teaching. So he tells us, don't do this. Don't live this way anymore. It's futile. It's futile thinking. It's a darkened understanding. So, number one, we'll never be better off. Life will never be better if we cut the corner on what God is telling us. As a church and as an individual, start at home, start with you. If God is speaking into your heart, if the Holy Spirit is speaking, you better follow that, not your feelings, not your senses, not your sight, not what you're hearing. You better just follow God. Number two, and this is very important for us, we don't live in a post-Christian culture. We live in a post-sensitive, calloused, and growing more so culture. And, listen, and if you and I are going to have ministry, if we're going to build, they're going to come into our church. We're going to go witness to them. We're going to give them food. We're going to feed them. We're going to love them with everything we have. And we've got to know we are loving, sharing, caring, helping with a culture of people who have become so calloused to right and wrong, so calloused. Not just to Christianity, not just callous to right and wrong, what used to be publicly acceptable or not. They are so callous to it. If you don't believe it, punch up Facebook or Twitter or something and start reading the comments, if you can even get very far. That's the culture. That's our mission field. So when they come in, it's just going to be critical for us to understand they are calloused to right and wrong. Tell me, am I right or wrong, that our culture today preaches for you to be who you are? The best thing you can do is just be who you are. Nobody should tell you who you are, what you are, why you... Nobody should challenge you. It's time for everybody, just whoever you are, be who you are. Okay? Now that's our mission field. Now that's who we're going to share the gospel with. Callous people getting more callous and insensitive because my government, my society, my textbooks have just told me, it's okay, I can do whatever I want to do. It's me. Now we've got to share. Now we've got to minister to this group of people. Why isn't that really truthful? Why are the trees so bright for you right now, but in a month you have no leaves left on your tree? You and I have to leverage this. You and I have to understand this. And that's why it's a beautiful thing that we do when we try and minister to the hurting. Because we know their leaves are bright today, but next month there are no leaves. That's when we go to the tree and we say, we still love you. Let me show you the maker of the tree. Let me show you the truth in that tree right there, of the one who loves you anyway. This is our mission field. This is our culture. It's not post-Christian, it's post-sensitive. It's just very calloused and getting more calloused. The truth of God is still the truth of God. The Spirit of God is still the Spirit of God, and we have Him. We're good. Walk with Him. Let's just stay right on it. Stay right on it. Do not leave it. It may feel good. Do not leave it. You will not be better for it. We cannot and will not ever build and unify and be created. As this verse says, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We will never achieve this if we don't understand Eve's teaching. If we don't understand, it feels so right, but it is not right. We will never build working off of our own senses. We will never build working off what we feel like is love, what we feel like, what tastes like. We will never build. You'll never build your family. You'll never build our church if we don't get this. Here's the issue. It's here. We just don't like to look at it. Here's your verse. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt. It's autumnal through deceitful desires. The desires look good, but they're deceitful. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Now, we always go. We always go. I always did. I mean, I was put off the old, put on the new self. But there's a third part right there in the middle. Put off your old manner of living. Put off your old self. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. Our thinking has to be totally rewound, rechanged. The spirit of our mind. The whole spirit of our thinking has to be rewound. It has to be rewound from what feels right, what tastes right, what ethnos is saying is okay and right, but it's autumnal and they're dying. We have to rewind our thinking to go, wait a minute. I have to be renewed in the spirit of my mind to go, I'm never going to be better off by shortchanging God and His Word. I'm never going to build a better church by doing this. Who am I thinking? What am I? What? He says, your thinking is futile and your understanding is darkened. We got to rewind that. We got to rewind that thinking. Because it feels right doesn't mean it's right. Because it's 2018 doesn't mean it's right. Because they say, hey, you be who you want to be. We don't care. Because they say, buy an effing, yeah, pumpkin spice, it doesn't mean it's good. Don't. Stay right here. Stay right here. Rewind your thinking from your old self that lives on feelings, that lives on your senses, lives on your understanding of life. Rewind the spirit of your thinking. Because Jesus Christ in His tree never loses its color. The blood of Christ is always there for every man, woman, and child to be washed pure white, to be loved, and to be called my bride. I love you. And that's what ethnos is looking for. That's what ethnos wants. That's a beautiful teaching. That's amazing stuff. We're building. You guys are building. Take this to heart. Take that to heart right there. I think Mark's got somebody even more smarter than me that wants to talk to you about that.
Well, we've got to look at ourselves and ask that, am I that? Does Terry got to convince me that this is good? This part's good. Because there are churches out there right now, right, that are just kind of going, No, don't worry about that one. We're going to build by God's word. We're going to hold here what He says. We're going to build His way. And we're not going to be better off. We're not going to be better off operating on what feels good, thinks good, tastes good, looks good. Well, they look successful. Why don't we do that? What are we going to build like? How are we going to build? That's our thinking. How are you going to build? Are you going to build your family? Are you going to build your business? We're going to build His way. We're going to build because He sees us as His bride, as His temple. We are holy. He loves us. He is jealous over us. And He says, if you build my way, I will bless you. But if you try and cut corners, I like those Leviticus verses. Wasting disease. Your sons and daughters. You know what? I think we're losing our sons and daughters. I think we have wasting disease in our country. I think people are dying all the time. Diseases we'd never heard of. I think our sons and daughters are way out there. I think we're losing them right before our eyes. And we're fooling ourselves into thinking, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. How are we going to build? I vote we build God's way. I vote we go by what He said. You're going to have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the people coming in. That's the culture we're ministering to. And we love them. That's the culture we're ministering to. And they're going to come in and find people renewed in the spirit of our mind. We don't think that way anymore. They're going to see in us people who have changed dramatically.
Your old self is not who you are. You are a new person in Christ because you've rewound your thinking, the spirit of your mind. You're so totally a new person now. What used to have you, it's gone. I don't think that way anymore. God has set me free. And I love the Lord. And I'm building. I'm part of a family. I'm part of a kingdom. I'm part of a holy of holies. He sees me as spotless, pure, beautiful. I'm going that way.